Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
If you love me, come on, get involved. Feel it rushing through you from your head to toe. Oh,
look, kids, it's Barbie and Ken sitting just near each other. Ryan and Margot, I want you to know that even if neither one of you wins an Oscar tonight, you've both already won something much more important, the genetic lottery.
An okay monologue from Jimmy Kimmel about what you would expect. You know, some jokes worked, some jokes didn't. Some jokes were verging on the margin of cruel, like with Robert Downey Jr.
This is the highest point of Robert Downey Jr.'s long and illustrious career. Well, one of the highest points. But...
Get it? Because he used to do drugs.
Robert has been a... Was that two on the nose, or is that a drug motion you made?
Yeah, it's the job, I suppose.
Emma Stone is an Oscar nominee for the fifth time, right? The fifth time. And she is, Emma, you're so unbelievably great in Poor Things. Emma played an adult woman with the brain of a child, like the lady who gave the rebuttal to the State of the Union on Thursday night.
See, it's funny because they're liberals and they hate conservatives. Senator Katie Britton, he's talking about there. Emma Stone is such a delight. She smiles with her whole body. She's great. What'd she win? Her second one, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So that's fantastic.
So many great movies that held audiences captive this year. And I mean that literally. Your movies were too long this year. The average length of the top 10 movies was 2 hours and 23 minutes. That's up 30 minutes from 3 years ago. When I went to see Killers of the Flower Moon, I had my mail forwarded to the theater. Killers of the Flower Moon is so long, in the time it takes you to watch it, you could drive to Oklahoma and solve the murders yourself.
The movies are longer, but yet, like Oppenheimer, was gripping the whole entire time.
The multi-talented Bradley Cooper is here with us tonight, he's got another Best Picture nominee with Maestro. Bradley, you brought your mom to the show tonight. Hi, Mrs. Cooper. How are you? You're doing good? Great. Bradley brings his mother to every award show, right? She was dated last year at the Oscars. And the Tonys and the Soul Train Awards, etc. It's very sweet, but I guess the question is, how many times can one bring his mom as his date before he is actually dating his mom? Are you working on a movie about Freud right now and not telling us?
That's pretty funny. And then I think, every once in a while, okay, see, good comedy tells the truth in a way that's like funny and painful and yet funny and helpful because it makes fun of a thing that's really pretty absurd and ridiculous. I thought his best line, honestly, his best line was the line about De Niro and Jodie Foster.
Here's some fun Oscar trivia. 48 years ago, Robert De Niro and Jodie Foster were nominated for Taxi Driver, and they are both nominated again tonight. 1976 was the year. And that's pretty crazy. In 1976, Jodie Foster is young enough to be Robert De Niro's daughter. Now she's 20 years too old to be his girlfriend.
That is a great joke. And that is a joke at the heart of, male, female, especially on-screen casting, right? That's, wow. that's really good.
For the first time in more than two decades, we're adding a new category to the Oscars. Not tonight, don't worry. In the future, they will be adding an Oscar for achievement in casting, which, yeah, you better applaud for that. And that is great news for actors, because now not only will be able to watch someone else win an Oscar for a part you didn't get, you'll also be able to watch the person who didn't think you were right for it win one, too.
That's pretty funny. funny. Did you watch any of the Oscars at all, Jake, at all last night?
Not very much of it, no.
Okay.
No,
did you happen to see the John Cena bit?
I'm glad that I did not, but they keep showing it on all of the news here on our big screen TVs this morning.
Well, you need such a big screen to show all of John Cena. I mean,
oh
that's...
Oh, my gosh.
Look, I thought that was funny. I was laughing. And if I... See, if I, oh, that's funny, not so good. But if I'm laughing, and I knew the bit was coming because I don't watch these things live. I kind of, you know, see what the news says is entertaining, and I go watch it for myself to see if they're right or not. And they were. I thought, for example, you know, the I'm Just Ken, I found that really boring. It's not. I don't have a problem with Ryan Gosling or the movie or the song. It just, I didn't, people seem to think that his performance of I'm Just Ken was the best thing that ever happened at the Oscars. I'm like,
He's got a good voice.
He does. Hey, no doubt, it was a good performance. I just, you know, it didn't wow me the way apparently it wowed everybody else, but the John Cena bit was pretty funny. I'll tell you about that in just a second. Jake's got traffic on the fives. Jake?
So a guy with his clothes on, you're like, he's all right, but, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever. You got to give the audience what they need.
Do we need to see John Cena pretty much naked? I mean, I don't know.
I don't need it, but it was funny.
Okay, all right. I don't see anything on our roadways out there. Highway 98 is looking good through Gulf Breeze and Navarre. Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace this morning is accident-free. Highway 29 south through Cantonment is looking clear. Chase Street, Gregor Street, Garden Street, Palafox, all checking in good. If you do see anything out there on our roadways slowing us down, let us know. Call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
So the bit was, you know, Jimmy Kimmel's doing... the hosting for the awards ceremony, and we'll hear.
Tonight is the 50th anniversary of what used to be the craziest moment in Oscar history. At the 46th Academy Awards in 1974, David Niven was in the middle of introducing Elizabeth Taylor when a nude man, a streaker, ran
which
across
showed.
The stage. Which, can you imagine if a nude man ran across the stage today? I said, can you imagine if a nude man ran across the stage today?
Because it didn't happen, right?
Wouldn't that be crazy?
Psst. Psst, Jimmy.
What? I can't come there. I'll do the thing. Excuse me for a second.
So John Cena's kind of poking just his head out is all you can see of him.
What's going on? You're supposed to run across the stage.
I changed my mind. I don't want to do the streaker bit anymore.
What do you mean you don't want to do the streaker bit anymore? We're doing it.
Just don't feel right about it, man. It's an elegant event. You know, honestly, you should feel shame right now for suggesting such a tasteless idea.
It's supposed to be funny.
The male body is not a joke.
Mine is.
No, it's not.
You wrestle naked. Why not?
Dude, I don't wrestle naked. I wrestle in jorts.
Jorts are worse than naked.
Accurate.
Come on. You're really not gonna do this? Fine, just give out the award then. God, the worst.
So, out comes John Cena wearing nothing but the, I don't know, 9x12 award envelope in front of him, you know? And, well, he's fit, let's just say it that way. Looking very sheepish. But it was not just a joke for gratuitous joke's sake. It was funny because...
costumes.
It was the award
so
for
important.
Costumes. That's are so great. Important.
Maybe the most important thing there is. I can't open the envelope
oh
without
my God.
The...
The nominees for best costume design are...
It was funny. That was funny. And it was relevant because that was the award he was given out was for best costume design.
That makes it funnier for me, but still. Oof.
Well, see, you got the safe version.
Yeah, I did.
You got the audio
the
without
audio
having
version.
To see all the Cena that there is to see. All the Cena Uri. No, I'm sorry. 619 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, my goodness. Where are we? Hey, if you've got a home improvement project, and it's not you, if you're trying to fix something in the home that's broken, or you just want to improve it, or you're trying to remodel or expand, or maybe you build homes, you know, maybe you build things for a living, whatever. I don't know your level of capability. That's not me. I'm the, you know, repair the things I broke. Pensacola Hardware is your place. You go there and they're going to have the supplies. They're going to have the tools. They're going to not have to order it. They're going to have it in stock because they've done this long enough that they know what you need. If they don't have it, you don't need it. And they'll find you the thing that you actually do need because you're probably misguided. But you can ask them for advice. You know, hey, how do you think I should solve this? What do you think? Is this a good idea? Because if you've never done it before, they'll know. And they'll be able to, hey, that's perfect. You're on exactly the right track. Or, you know, maybe here's a little bit better way to do that. And the point is they've been doing this since 1851. It's in their blood. They've been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola for 173 years. That is unbelievable. Right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
It's game day at Jim's house, and the spread is impressive.
Mike's already done some damage with the hot wings, and now he's dropping back and going deep for another slice of pizza.
I sure hope he brought the Pepto.
Mike knows the Pepto-Bismol provides fast 5-symptom relief from unexpected stomach upsets. He's no rookie.
The way he's throwing back those nachos, he's the GOAT.
Be ready for game day with Pepto-Bismol.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea,
use as directed, keep out of reach of children.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today and learn more with Mary on Demand. Take the self-guided education series at your own pace. You'll decide what you'd like to learn and when. Visit mary.famu.edu to learn more. That's mmeri.famu.edu. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
Busted Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Used to keep it cool, used to be a fool, all about the bouncing master. Watch it on the news, what you gonna do? I could hit refresh and forget. Used to keep it cool.
J.K. Rowling's definitely committed a crime. I'm legally a woman. She knows I'm a woman. And she calls me a man. It's a protected characteristic. And that is a breach of both the Equalities Act and the Gender Recognition Act. She's tweeted that out to 14 million followers.
This is India Willoughby, who is complaining about J.K. Rowling, the Harry Potter author, who has apparently misgendered this person. On transgender things, you know, I throw up my hands an awful lot. And I just give up and I try to do as neutral as I can because, it's the man who says he's a woman. I'm legally a woman. She knows I'm a woman. She called me a man. Doing an interview with Byline TV in the UK and, asked the question, so what are you going to do about it?
Oh, I'm at the center of it. I might be.
She tweeted. J.K. Rowling tweeted about India Willoughby saying man. Okay, that's the big offense here, okay?
Oh, I'm at the center of it. I might be a little bit biased.
Well, what are you going to do about this?
What am I going to do about it? I've been to the police. And I've reported it as an issue. I contacted Northumbria Constabulary yesterday.
So you reported J.K. Rowling
I have reported
to the police.
J.K. Rowling to the police.
Whether to laugh or cry.
For what she said, which I don't know if that's going to be treated as a hate crime, malicious communications, but it's a cut and dried offense as far as I'm concerned.
It's a cut and dried offense. It's a hate crime to misgender somebody. It surely you can't be serious. No, but they are, really.
And at the end of the day, it is a hate crime. Transgender identity is a protected characteristic, just as race is, just as sexuality is.
So would it be a crime to say somebody's white when they're black, or to say that Ariana Grande doesn't look the way she used to look? I mean, you know, is that like, are these hate crimes now? It's a bizarre world, some of these folks. And I don't say all. There are, not all are totalitarians, not all are fascists, not all want to force everybody else to tailor their behavior and speech to accommodate the reality that they're living in. Not all do. There are many who do not. Many who also don't think this is an appropriate response to when people disagree with you.
Equivalent of what J.K. Rowling said, calling a trans person a man, deliberately knowing that that person is a woman, and I am a woman, regardless of what J.K. Rowling says. I've been through everything that's required of me. My birth certificate says female, my passport, all of my documents. I am legally recognized as a woman. And for J.K. Rowling to deliberately, and that is the key word, misgender me, knowing who I am, is grossly offensive.
See, when I write the transgressors, some of you, I know you hear it and you think, ah, that's ridiculous. That's exaggerating. You're putting words in these people's mouths. Surely. No, no. You know, misgendering, felony in the second degree. That's what they're looking for.
It's a hate crime, and it should be treated just as somebody calling a black person the N-word or an Asian person the P-word.
Calling a man is not a slur. I mean, that's a bizarre stretch, too. It's calling black people the N-word. The Asian is, it's packy. In Britain, that's more of a racial term for Pakistani, like an Asian, okay? It's not a term that, because you're like, what's the P-word? I don't even know if I'm saying the P-word. Okay, it's not really a thing here. So the mistake here is thinking that the law, which does prohibit discrimination, okay, on the basis of this, you can't not hire somebody, but it doesn't compel anybody to say words. And now the police have dismissed the claim and laughed at her. The one thing about this that's good, okay, the one thing that is, it's actually really good, is the follow-up to all this is apparently in the last couple of days, there was a huge blow-up on Twitter between the two of these folks. And basically, Willoughby apologized. I'm completely sorry for my behavior. This is on Twitter. Towards J.K. Rowling last night, and I apologized to her for the unforgivable and inexcusable language used. It won't happen again. To which Rowling says, I accept your apology, and I'd ask any supporters of mine giving grief to please stop now. I didn't ask for this apology. It was made spontaneously, and a good faith gesture deserves equal good faith on the other side. So that's good. Okay, that's good. 437-1620, but the other stuff? By law, you think reporting somebody to the cops for not following your speech codes? It's a weird world that we are living in. Even if the law doesn't get enforced that way, for people to think that it should be is totally bizarre. 627, Jake's got traffic for us. Jake?
This traffic report brought to you by ECUA. Not seeing anything on our roadways to report right now. I-10 and I-110 look like they're at posted speeds. Mobile Highway is clear through Beulah. No delays on Burgess or Olive. Lillian, Jackson, Navy, New Orange, and all accident-free on the west side. Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox, all checking in clear. Looks like Highway 98 is good through Navarre and Gulf Breeze. If you do see anything out there slowing you down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line. That number is 437-1620. ECUA Bulk Waste Service is now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
You know, somebody texted me and says, you keep saying not all of them have this kind of militant, aggressive, totalitarian, fascist tendency to want to control other people's speech. I keep looking for those people, but I never find them. Well, they don't make news much. Right? And also because they are warring camps, so to speak, within the transgender viewpoint, right? Because, you know, there's the militant transgender that want everybody to be forced to say the thing that they want to be said about their gender. And then there's the other ones who think, well, I know what I believe about me, and if you want to honor that, or if you want to respect that, or if you don't, that's up to you. Well, tolerance and intolerance don't get along real well, right? So the intolerant transgenders are the loudest and the ones that get the most coverage and make the news stories, and they will actively criticize the more tolerant ones because the more tolerant ones are, in their view, allowing for prejudice and oppression and bigotry to flourish because they're not militantly expanding the domain to push back against people who don't want to recognize them in language. So that's why you don't hear from them. Just, you know, they don't make the news much. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The trial date for two people accused of planning to attack the power grid in Baltimore is now set. The Maryland woman and Florida man set to appear in federal court July 8th for conspiracy to attack a power grid charges. The Pentagon says there's no evidence that the U.S. has covered up the existence of UFOs.
Claims of hidden programs are largely the result of circular reporting by a small group.
That is Defense Department Press Secretary Major General Patrick Ryder. The DOD released a 63-page report. They said investigative efforts have determined most UFO sightings are the results of misidentification of ordinary objects or phenomena.
Spoken like a true member of the conspiracy. Well, there's no evidence. Yeah, because you've been good at suppressing it all these years. But what is the way out? What is the logic you would need? What is the evidence that you would need to get rid of your conspiracy? Well, the harder it is to find, the more true the conspiracy is, right?
Fox News. Is Foster. Oppenheimer wins Best Picture and six other Oscars, including Best Director Christopher Nolan.
Movies are just a little bit over 100 years old. I mean, imagine being there 100 years into painting or theater. We don't know where this incredible journey is going from here, but to know that you think that I'm a meaningful part of it means the world to me.
The Academy of Motion Picture Art and Sciences Awards on ABC. A terrorist leader is dead.
The United States government had placed a $5 million bounty on Khalid al-Bartarfi, the leader of Al-Qaeda in Yemen. But the group says he's dead, and it's not clear how it happened. Al-Bartarfi's been in charge for 4 years. His predecessor was killed in a U.S. drone strike.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Around 50 people are injured on a flight from Australia to New Zealand after what the airline calls a technical event causing a strong movement. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3 right now. It is 49 degrees in Pensacola, partly cloudy skies this morning. A dire warning from Florida Senator Marco Rubio yesterday on CBS's Face the Nation.
AI is going to disrupt white-collar jobs, jobs that people went and got degrees and even borrowed money to get degrees. It's going to disrupt white-collar jobs in a way that deindustrialization and technology advances and productivity disrupted blue-collar jobs.
And Marco Rubio there, he says, we need to start thinking about the economic displacement that could potentially follow that disruption. He says, soon AI will be able to do the work it used to take 10 people with advanced degrees to do. Well, bad weather caused plenty of travel disruptions across the state over the weekend. There were airports in Miami, Orlando, and Tampa, all reporting flight delays and cancellations on Sunday. This was after quite a few delays and cancellations on Saturday, too. But as for this morning at the Pensacola International Airport, they are reporting all arrivals and departures on time. Well, efforts to free a stranded whale continuing today off of Sarasota County. The FWC says a sperm whale is stuck off the coast of Venice. Surf and wind conditions, though, were too dangerous to get to the whale yesterday. A team will be out there this morning. Venice officials report that the whale was still alive as of last night, but at that point it did have labored breathing. Well, there was a candlelight vigil last night at the now demolished Malcolm Young Gym.
Our goal is to let the community decide what occurs with it. So bringing it to ballot, it's already demolished, but we can choose to rebuild, or if it wants to be privatized, I think the community may voice to want to rebuild if they allow us our referendum process.
That is Jonathan Green. Now, he's been very vocal in his support for stopping the demolition and says he has many childhood memories at that facility. The vigil last night included a handful of people, including former Pensacola councilperson Sherry Myers, and that group continuing to gather signatures and support for a rebuild of the facility. And a new group living facility now being proposed in Molino. This facility would be located in an 8,000-square-foot home on just over 5 acres, located on Mehard Road off of Highway 95A. A conditional use application has now been filed with the county's Development Review Committee. The application says the home would be used for an adult family care facility. Eventually, they would also utilize the guest home for additional space at that facility. And it was a big turnout over the weekend for the Maguire's Run in downtown Pensacola. 10,000 people were estimated to participate in that run, which has been ongoing now since 1977, back when it first started. The run was a small event, but it's now grown to one of the largest 5K runs across the nation. It is 6:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Jake.
This traffic report is brought to you by Discover. I am not seeing anything on our roadways. Haven't discovered any slowdowns or tie-ups here on our roadways. I-10 and I-110 look like they're doing good. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is flowing smoothly. Looks like if you're coming out of Milton through Pace this morning on Highway 90, nothing slowing you down there. Here in town, we've got 9 Mile not showing any issues and no delays on Burgess or Olive. If you do see anything out there slowing you down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line. That phone number is 437-1620. Discover wants everyone to feel special with live 24/7 customer service. Learn more at discover.com/credit card. Limitations apply. I am Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a nice, beautiful day today with a few clouds in the area, high near 65 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 47. For Tuesday, a little more sunshine with a high near 69. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 56. Small isolated showers possible by Wednesday with a 20% chance of rain, high near 72. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it is 49 degrees in Pensacola, 52 in Gulf Breeze, and 48 in Milton. Your next news at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. NVIDIA is being sued by three authors who say the company used their copyrighted books without permission to train its NeMo artificial intelligence platform. The trio is seeking unspecified damages for those whose copyrighted works helped train the AI model in the last 3 years. NVIDIA, whose chips are used to power artificial intelligence, have seen its shares surge nearly 600% since the end of 2022 and now has a market value of nearly $2.2 trillion. Aramco has reported a 25% decline in profit to just over $121 billion in 2023, down from just over $161 billion in 2022. The result still represents Aramco's second highest ever net income. The earnings come after the Saudi government transferred an additional 8% of its shares to Saudi Arabia's public investment fund. Futures are slightly lower. That's your money now.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Auto Trader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KelleyBlueBookKBB.com and AutoTrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru. Get yours during the Subaru A Lot to Love event. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
I don't mind you coming here, wasting all my time.
Few will remember us. It's a hard thing to accept, but few will remember us. Thousands have sat in these seats before, and thousands will sit into them after we are gone. What will be remembered are the policies that we pass and the lives that we have changed. And while perhaps they should, no one will remember a woman from the Panhandle who overcame unspeakable horrors to end up on this floor. But we will preserve and remember the worst example of what government can do to children because she picked up that sword.
This is Randy Fine giving his farewell speech for the House of Representatives in Tallahassee. And though he did not mention any of the examples he gave by name, the woman he was talking about was our own state representative, District 1, Michelle Salzman, who joins us now by phone. Michelle, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Well, thanks. And that was a pleasant surprise.
I told her when we were talking on the phone right before I had her on the air that I had a surprise for her. I wasn't going to tell her what it was, but I obviously she was in the room when Randy made the comments, but I thought that was a very fine speech. And, you know, to mention her that way and well deserved. I mean, your work on the Dozier School, well deserved. And I will admit that this is an issue that I knew at a distance and I still don't feel like I fully understand all of the horrific things that went on there. But you fought for this and got, what, $20 million, I think, for the Victims Compensation Fund. Is that right?
Yeah, $20 million, and all of the victims will get a diploma now. When they attended Dozier, which was supposed to be a school that you would graduate from, they didn't give kids diplomas. Mm. They just used them as workers. You know, it was a slave encampment, if you wanted to, you know, really know what it was. And so they would go there and they would work, and the state would use their labor to, you know, do crops or whatever, and then reap the benefits. And then those children would get abused, and then either they would die in captivity or be released eventually with no, I mean, they had some skills that they got from the work that they were doing, whatever that was, but they didn't really, they never got their diploma. So that was a part of it. And the Secretary of Education was actually more than thrilled when we asked him if he'd be willing to do that. And we're working on doing a graduation ceremony with Manny Diaz and the victims that are still living towards the end of the year. So, yeah, we got him to $20 million. It was a huge lift. Nobody had ever been able to do it before. And I love challenges like that. So when my friend Troy Rafferty said, "Hey, Michelle, can you just put this in bill drafting?" I clicked file, and he was just like, "What? I didn't mean for you to do that." And I said, "Well, here we go."
You don't have to ask twice. I love that. What for people who don't know, and that partially includes me. Where was the Dozier School geographically, and why did people wind up there? Were these orphans? Were they, you know, handicapped in some way, mentally or physically challenged? I just don't know enough of the history.
It's right up the road.
It was right up the road. Sorry, where?
Yeah, in Marianna.
Marianna. Okay.
Yeah. So it was more for the impoverished and the lower level class of folks. Basically, it started out as a great idea. It was going to be a reform school where you could send your children if they were, you know, bad. And then these these boys, they would learn how to behave, and they would just learn how to be men. That was the whole thing. They'd learn all of these life skills and, of course, learn, you know, the stuff you would learn in school, and then they were supposed to leave better men. And unfortunately, it was only the only kids that were sent there were the ones that were foster kids or displaced children or children from poor families. You know, and there were stories. I remember in committee, people would show up. They would see the bill and they would just show up. We didn't know they were coming, not rehearsed at all. And one lady was like, you know, my mom was so excited whenever he got accepted into the Dozier school when he had skipped school so many times. She thought that this was going to be the moment that he was going to learn how to be a man. And he came back. He was not the same. Within, you know, moments, he was in prison for a hard crime, for felonies. And he's never been the same since. And he's been in and out of prison. And he wouldn't talk about what happened at Dozier, you know. So parents were, like, really excited about sending their kids here, thinking that their kids were going to get reformed. And it took a long time for people to really start seeing that something was going on there. And even whenever they got complaints, the school didn't close until 2011. 2011.
That's unbelievable.
11. Like, my youngest, who's 13, could have gone to Dozier. Like, it's that recent in history. We kept it open for over 100 years. So even with the atrocities going on, we knew it was happening, and we just kept empowering it and sending more and more kids. There were times whenever they wouldn't have enough boys doing the work because the boys would either have been released or have died. So they would do a call to action in the communities and say, we need more kids. So they would start just picking up kids for smoking in the hallway or whatever. So they would make the thing they did wrong to be so minimal because they just needed bodies to do the work.
And
they needed to perform X amount.
And you, I mean, you know, you've been talking about the work issue, but, you know, beatings, rape, abuse, torture, murder.
That's how they got them to work. Yep.
Yeah, 100 graves. It's an unbelievable. It's the kind of story that if they made a movie, you wouldn't believe it was so awful, but it really was.
They actually have movies. They have lots of documentaries on it. So they would pull the boys out of their cots in the middle of the night, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, it didn't matter, and take them to what's called the White House, and they would strap them down. And they would beat them with leather straps. And the leather straps weren't just a leather strap. They would have metal studs on them. And they would beat them until their legs were partially hanging off. You know, like they would just beat them to nothing. And if they screamed, they would start the beating over again. And then they would rape them. They would make some of the boys, they would dress up as women and drag them into the woods and rape them and gang rape them. And if the boys would die, they would just bury them, and they never told their parents. The parents had no idea what happened to the children.
This is why, like, again, you know, I had only followed this at a distance, but every time I learned something new about it, it's so horrifying to imagine, as you said, that it even continued into it fairly recently. We're talking to Michelle Salzman. So, again, kudos to you for pushing this bill and getting the funding for it. Michelle Salzman, State Representative for District 1. Hang on for just a second, Michelle. Let's get traffic in here from Jake. Go ahead, Jake.
All right. I'm not seeing anything on our roadways to report. Everything's looking good. If you do see anything out there on our roadways slowing us down, you can always report it to our traffic tip line. That number is 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker, Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. One of the other bills you got done in conjunction with Sheriff Bob Johnson was the HB 341 that allows people to voluntarily designate on their motor vehicle registration that they have somebody in their family who might have special needs. So cops will know that when they're approaching the car, right?
Yeah, it was interesting because Big Ange, Angela Nandon from Santa Rosa County, she and I met at an event with the First Lady over a year ago, and she kept following up with the governor, and she was like, we need to do this designation on these tags, and the governor told her, you need to go see Representative Salzman. And so she just, like, she was on a pursuit for me. She just kept saying, I need you to carry this bill. The governor says so, and I'm just like, okay, all right, we'll sit down and talk. And I serve on the board for Autism Pensacola. I've done things for disabled every single year I've been in office, like big things. And so I'm disabled myself, so I'm always an advocate. So she tells me this idea, and I'm like, well, that's got to be easy. What's the big deal about that? So we filed the bill to get – basically it would say only in the registry that the cops see, not that anybody else would know.
Right.
But when you pull it up, it tells you things about the person in the car, and it would just have said schizophrenia, nonverbal autism. But we got so much pushback from so many people saying, you can't do that. You're creating a registry. So we just came up with this, and I don't remember who or what, but whoever it was in our process, because it was a fight, they said, why don't we just put the word safe, because it's the SAFE Act, on the, as the identifier. And that, that way it just says whoever's in the car, there there could be potentially something. So it gives the first responder a heads up. But I had a hard time getting the bill agended on the first committee stop, because people just didn't understand, and they've we've never been able to do this before in history. Apparently people have been trying for decades and it just didn't work. So I had called Bob Johnson and I said, hey, can you call your people in your district and tell them that they need to put pressure? And then I went to Danny Perez, speaker designate, and I said, Danny, I need you to take this bill and resurrect it from the dead. It's so important to me. I need this from you. Not only did he do that, the bill made it through all three committees within a week. He put his name on it as a co-sponsor, and he didn't put his name on any other bills the entire session, but he did. And I'll tell you why. Danny joined the legislature because his brother is severely disabled and he couldn't get the resources for him. And he said, well, if the state won't do it, I'm going to go make them do it. So that's what drove him to be in the legislature. So our speaker designate is just so passionate about the disabled that it was an easy lift for him to say, oh, I'll come in and save the day. So we, you know, Big Ange pushed real hard. She brought that sheriff up there several times and he spoke in committees, and he called all the sheriffs in Florida. And if you had a sheriff or if you were on that committee, your specific sheriff gave you a personal phone call and told you you need to support this bill.
Oh, wow. That's effective leadership. Man, that's great.
He was a man. Bob Johnson was the real hero. He just jumped in there and just started just pushing through. When he heard somebody didn't like the bill, he called their sheriff and said, you call your member and you tell them they better vote for this bill. It was so wild. I was like, wow, okay. And then he's like, we need to do another bill here. I was like, okay, sir.
We'll do. You're the speaker designated. We'll see. Hey, one thing I wanted to ask you about before we run out of time, Michelle, is I know you had been a big advocate for the term limits bill, HB 57. It wound up not succeeding this year because of disagreements in the version between the House and the Senate and a variety of factors. I have said this on the air, and I think you know I've said this, but I want to make sure that I don't go without saying it to you personally, is I like the idea of county-by-county referendum. I favor that because if it really is massive support for this, then you should pass it, and if any county wants to opt out, let them opt out. That'd be my approach instead of the make it a law for everybody regardless of what the county wants. Are you open to that way? I think it was that was the Senate's way of doing it.
It's not without diming anybody out, that would not work. It would not make it through the process. It would not get signed. That was a hard stop for people above my pay grade. So it will be filed again next year as an 8-year. We were disagreeing on a couple of things, the 12 versus 8. And I'm kind of indifferent on the 8 versus 12. I like 8, but I would have settled for 12. But people well above pay grade said that bill will not pass. So it had to be 8. and it couldn't be a referendum. So, and no carve-outs either. Like, that was really upsetting me. There were some senators that wanted carve-outs for small communities. And my saying is, if you need a carve-out, you don't need a government. You know, I'm not trying to be ugly, but we don't need to have government for government. But I would have done it if that would have been something the governor would have signed and the Senate would have passed, but and the House, and that was still a no. They don't want that. They don't want to make exceptions. So we're going to bring it back the same way it came in this year. And from my understanding, it will be on the top list of priorities for the leadership of all branches of government. And I think that we'll have better success next year. But even if we don't, I'll carry it anyway. I'm just so passionate about it. And it's nothing against my county commissioners. I get along with all of them. It's just, you know, you can't keep putting the same people in there. There's no opportunity for new voices, new messages. The same people are going to get the same contracts. And I think that government should not be operating stagnantly. I think we should have fresh ideas. And so We'll bring it back next year, and if it's a waste of time again, it's a waste of time again. But I know it's what my people want. I have polled them time and again. It's one of their top priorities. So I'm there to represent them, and I'll continue to keep fighting.
Well, and that's, of course, that's the reason why I favor the referendum, because I do think it'll pass pretty much everywhere. And I also agree with you. Carve-outs for small counties is a silly argument. You know, we can't muster two people in the whole county to run for a particular seat. Michelle Salzman is our state representative for District 1. That's the northern, about three-quarters of the geography of Escambia County. Michelle, as always, thank you for the time. Thank you for serving in Tallahassee, and we will talk to you again soon. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Take care.
Always. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
All right. This traffic report is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Not really seeing anything major on our roadways. No accidents being reported by FHP. Not seeing any slowdowns to report. Looks like Highway 98 is good through Gulf Breeze and Navarre. If you're coming out of Milton this morning through Pace on Highway 90, not seeing anything slowing you down there. Highway 29 south through Cantonment and Inslee, not seeing anything there as well. And Chase Street, Gregor Street, Garden Street, Palafox, all checking in clear. If you see anything out there on our roadways, let us know. You can call or text our traffic tip line. That number is 437-1620. Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows southern weather is unpredictable, and our Energy Star windows and doors will keep the heat in and the cold outside where it belongs. We prioritize keeping your family and your home comfortable all year round. Energy efficient products made, installed, and guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
When you buy more, you can save more. Visit NewSouthWindow.com. New South proud.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech, a professional air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Thursday at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him Thursday morning at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I can see! I can see! I have legs!
So please believe me, my heart is in your hand. I'll be missing you.
Good morning, 6:57 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, top lawmakers on the Senate Intelligence Committee warning about the greatest U.S. national security risks. During an interview on CBS, CBS's Face the Nation, Virginia Democrat Mark Warner says the U.S. needs to push back against Russia and Ukraine, resolve the war in Gaza, and says China remains the biggest challenge. The Pentagon says there's no evidence the U.S. covered up the existence of UFOs. Defense Department Secretary Major General Patrick Ryder here.
Claims of hidden programs are largely the result of circular reporting by a small group.
And he says that their report, which was released last week, showed investigative efforts determined that most sightings were misidentification of ordinary objects or phenomena. Two Texas man, Andrew, facing charges after allegedly stealing a lot of calculators from stores in Minnesota. Why, I don't know, but the value of these stolen calculators was around $20,000.
Probably
apparently.
Good calculators are expensive. Not that expensive, but okay. It's like the black market at math class, right?
Right.
Out at the engineering campus at UWF. All right, David, thanks for the update. future news, what's going to happen before it happens, we always tell you. Will term limits come back and pass next year, as she said?
I hope so, yeah. I think so.
I don't know. I think it'll get stymied again.
If anybody can do it, she
can. Will they rebuild the Malcolm Young gym?
No.
No, I don't think that's at all likely.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.